If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. You know, I always tell you that I want you to be real, and so I'm going to be real with you guys for a moment. I am really, really tired. My wife and I had a wonderful week, but it's been an up and down week. It's been a crazy week, but we had our CVCA had their seventh grade retreat this week at Camp Carl, where there was 165 seventh graders, and we spent four days with them, and I got to share in the chapel messages every night with them, and it was just wonderful. But I am being realized of my age. Running with 165 seventh graders all day long until midnight, and then waking up and starting again at 8 o'clock the next morning is not for an old man. Let me tell you that. I know, I am, you're right. But it was a blessing. The blessing! I started that this morning during practice, and now I can't get it out of my head. But the blessing of this whole entire week has been that just watching these seventh graders love the Lord and to hear them sing and to hear them pouring their heart into it. And then asking, you know, every chapel we give them an opportunity to come and ask for prayer or to give an opportunity for them to respond to the gospel message. And, you know, yes, they are seventh graders from CVCA, and yes, most of them came from Christian homes, but wouldn't you know that there is, I don't have the exact number right now, but there is many who gave their life to the Lord and rededicated their life to the Lord during these 4 days. It was just a joy to see. But it was also a joy to hear them sing. I know my wife's the choir director there, so they better be good singers, right? But to hear them pouring their heart out to worship was amazing. And then today, while we were here and we were singing the song, I don't know if you guys heard, but your daughter has an amazing voice, by the way. She was just singing her heart out over here. And I was like, that brought me... Corey, I'm sorry, your singing did not bring me to tears, but hers did, okay? Nothing against you, Corey. You have a good voice, too. But it was just awesome to hear. It's such a blessing to hear. It's such a blessing to hear kids pouring their heart out to the Lord. The other thing that I realized this week is, you know, I am, as a pastor and as preaching and teaching, one of the things that I often do is when I put together my sermon series, I think about how I can get from here to the here and do it as quickly as possible, make as many points as I can and get done with it. Well, the Lord told me this week, he's like, you got to put on the brakes, buddy. You're going too fast. And I'm like, too fast? I've never been accused of being too fast at anything in my life. But I realized that I don't want to jump through the book of Ephesians. There's some really good stuff in this, and I was planning on going from Ephesians 1 to Ephesians 2 today and just talking about Ephesians 2, but the Lord's like, you're missing the whole point of the end of Ephesians 1. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 1. We're going to be starting at verse 15. Because Paul makes it very clear, as I said last week, he is speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he's speaking to them and he's teaching them how to grow in their faith. He's teaching them how to take these really interesting things that that the Lord has taught him, and he's teaching them to the Ephesians. The end of Ephesians 1, though, talks about a power of Jesus. And Paul, I believe, in these very few verses at the end of Ephesians 1, gives a beautiful painting or picture of who Jesus really is. One that I think that we don't fully grasp a hold of completely. And so today what I want to do is I want you to grasp a hold of the full power and might of who Jesus Christ really is in our lives. Because we need to understand that. You know, when I was a young boy, I was fascinated with storms. And I was fascinated with weather of all time. My sister, you could ask my aunt, my sister was very, very nervous of storms. She still is to this day. I, on the other hand, was fascinated with them. And we found ourselves one day at Jog Lake as a family. And Barb, do you remember this? Do you remember our trip to Jogga Lake where the lightning struck the pole? So we're at Jogga Lake. Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot there. So we're at Jogga Lake as a family, and we're having just a wonderful time. And while we're there, the announcement came over the loudspeaker, said there is a really bad storm coming in, so you must exit the park, leave the park. And as we're running out of the park, we're walking, let's be honest. We're walking out of the park in a crowd of a whole bunch of people. I just remember this poor young lady. She's probably 17, 18, 19 years old. She's sitting in the ticket booth, and she has on this is many years ago, mind you. So, you know, they didn't have wireless mics at those times. So she had a pack that went around her waist, and she's saying, "Get out of the park, you know, keep moving, keep moving." And she's explaining to us, right as we're doing this, I'm on the pavement with several other people, some of my family members, and some of my family members were on the grass as we're going out. Lightning struck the pole, the light pole, right out on the, if you remember Jogga Lake, I know this is, it's no longer there today, but if you remember, there's a big concrete patio that leads up to it. Lightning struck that pole. What I didn't know then was that when lightning strikes something that's connected to concrete, you know what happens? That shock goes all the way out and everywhere that's on that concrete. I happened to be with a whole bunch of other people on that concrete when that lightning pole was struck. Well, when I came to, after being knocked on my behind, when I came to, I noticed that my family members who were running beside me in the grass were now ahead of me. That's how shocking and powerful this lightning bolt that struck this pole was. But on top of it, the poor little girl that had she's not little, she's older than me now, but back then she's received several burns across her waist and on her ear and stuff like that because it traveled up the electric that she had. That afternoon, I remember becoming awestruck with the power that is weather. The power that is in lightning, the power that is in storms. And I begin to understand that for me to fully understand this, I would have to spend a lot of time and energy. And in fact, to be honest with you, I always thought that I would not be a pastor. I always thought that I'd be a meteorologist. And my dream was one day to be on the TV telling you, "Hey, there's snow coming." Right? But the Lord had other plans for me, and that's quite all right. I'm real happy with where I'm at. The truth of the matter is that event, as well as other events, had me fall in love with meteorology and storms and weather of all type. But I didn't understand the full power of it until later on when I started dedicating my life to learning about why storms act and why they do the things they do. See, today you could be here, and let me reel this back in a little bit. Today you could be here and you could know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but do you really know the power that is in Him? See, just the name Jesus alone carries power. The name Jesus is above all other names. There is no other name that is compared to Him. But do you truly understand the power and might that is in the person and the name of Jesus? Because until you grasp a hold of that, you can't really become all that Jesus wants you to become. And so today, what I want to do is I want to take a look at what Paul is saying to us in the second half of the first chapter of Ephesians. Because Paul is encouraging us to go beyond some peripheral knowledge of Jesus. He's telling us to go deeper. He's encouraging us to grow. He's encouraging us to walk in and understand the supremacy and power of who Jesus is today. That takes the Spirit, takes the Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us, to give us wisdom of how to navigate these waters. But to understand this, you must understand who Jesus is. And so I say, friends, let's buckle up and learn who Jesus really is. Because it will change your life when you understand the Savior that you follow today. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into Ephesians 1, chapter 15, or verse 15. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you. We ask you that you'd be with us today. Heavenly Father, we ask you that you'd send your Holy Spirit to us. Holy Spirit, come and move in us today. Give us wisdom and understanding and just all of the wisdom that we need to understand the verses that Paul is speaking to us today. You promise to be with us and guide us and strengthen us and give us that wisdom that we need. And so we're asking you, Lord, today, give it to us. Father, we pray that as we read these verses that we can understand that you are truly our foundation. You are the most important thing that has ever happened, not only to us, but to this world. And so, Lord, we ask you that you guide us and strengthen us. Help us to walk in this truth today as we learn to understand who you are. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us, guide us, help us to overcome any of the things that are keeping us from grasping a hold of you today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, but they would truly be your words, Father, as you lead and guide us. Help us to learn what you would have to say to us through these verses and so much more. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, and we lift you high and mighty because you deserve that and so much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. This is a prayer that Paul is writing down. I don't know how many of you might do this, but I love to do this. I love to write my prayer. So I open up Word and I just start writing my... I can't write it. I can, but I have a hard time reading my own handwriting. So I find it better to open up Word and just write that. But I love writing my own prayers. This is exactly what Paul is doing. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and he says some really interesting things that we have to grasp a hold of. So he starts out with saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul is thanking the Lord for the Ephesians. He's thanking them for the believers in Ephesus, and he's saying, thank you, Lord, for bringing them into my life, and he's making known who they are. But then he goes on, and he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That is some of the most powerful things that you can pray for someone. Because what Paul is saying right here to the Ephesians, but he's also saying that to us, is that the wisdom, so you have to understand that when Jesus leaves this earth and goes into heaven, he says, it's better that I leave so that the Spirit may come. The Holy Spirit who walks with us, it is the current, if you want to use it in this terminology, he is the current version of God with us today. But he walks with us, and he promises to do many things. But number one, the thing that the Holy Spirit does more than often than anything else is he gives us wisdom and revelation of who God is. Why? Because he was with God. He is with God. He is God here on this earth. And so the Holy Spirit gives us this wisdom and this understanding. And Paul is praying, the reason why I'm hammering this so hard right now is because Paul is praying that what I'm about to tell you, you need to have the wisdom of Jesus. Or you need to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to understand who Jesus is. So Paul is preaching and praying and asking the Lord to give them this wisdom so that they can have a full knowledge of the revelation of who he is. Paul goes on to say, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Now we're going to jump in to this a little bit more, because we have to understand, are you, the question that I want to start with all of us here is, are you thankful to know him? What Paul is asking, and he's saying he's thankful that the Ephesians know Jesus. Now, I know that might be a silly question to ask a church full of people who have been coming here and they know the Lord, hopefully. If you don't, you'll have an opportunity to learn who he is and grow in him. But the truth of the matter is that we must have more than just a peripheral knowledge of Jesus. What Paul is asking is, do we know who he truly is? Do the Ephesians know? Paul is saying, I'm thankful that the Ephesians know who Jesus is. Why can Paul say that? Paul can say that because he has taught them who Jesus is. And he's going to continue to teach them who Jesus is. Paul starts this out, this prayer, with a prayer of thanksgiving, giving thanks that the people of Ephesus know Jesus. It's a glorious thing to know Jesus as your personal Savior. It really is. It's the most amazing thing. But you know what? It's even a more glorious thing to be able to walk with him and grow in him and grow deeper than beyond salvation. Jesus never intended for you to come and have a salvation moment where you give your life to Christ and then never grow another step in him. That was never intended to be the case. In fact, Jesus wants you to grow in him. And Jesus, in his own words in Matthew 28, tells us to go and make disciples of all men, teaching them what? All things. Teaching us to follow him. And so Paul is repeating a little bit of what Jesus was saying to him, because he's telling them, you have to grow in your knowledge of Jesus. You can't stay in this elementary version of who Jesus is. See, the elementary version of Jesus is that I'm saved. Every Christian who gives their life to Christ can say that. But do they know deeper? Have they gone to college, right? Have they been edumacated? I said that purposefully, just in case you thought otherwise. Paul is challenging them to know him even more. See, the truth is, I think we forget just how amazing Jesus is. Somehow we leave Jesus in the manger, or we delegate him to the cross somewhere between Christmas and Easter, and then we don't allow him to impact or change the rest of our lives. That was never intended to be the case. Paul intended us to not only know Jesus for who he was when he was born, Emmanuel, in the manger, and also our Savior on the cross, but he intended for us to walk with him every day and grow deeper in his teachings and his understanding of who he is, so that we can grow in the truth. I once heard someone say, tell your problems how big God is, instead of how big your problems are to you. It's a wonderful phrase, by the way, and I've used it many times. But see, I think the reality of the truth is the knowledge of us. We have to tell ourselves, our minds, how big Jesus is. Because when we face issues, we have to understand that we have the most powerful person, the most powerful God who ever walked this earth. He's the only God, by the way. But he's the most powerful being that has ever lived on this earth in our corner. So when I face a health issue, when I face a problem, I can remind myself that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and he's in my corner. So get out of the way. Don't tell me how big my problems are. Let me tell you how big my God is. Paul calls us to understand the gift that was given to us through Jesus. I know we talked about blessings last week, but Jesus is the biggest blessing that will have ever happened in your life, bar none. That's right. There's nothing else that can compare to it. There's no gift, there's no amount of money, there's no inheritance, there's no kingdom, there's nothing I can give to you that would surpass the gift of having Jesus in your life. But I'm here to remind you to never forsake, to never forget the one who that is, who gave you that gift, that blessing, in Jesus Christ. See, we must know him to grow in our knowledge of him. You know, I said earlier that you must have an understanding of something. You can't grow in something if you don't understand something, right? I remember in college taking statistics, and I hated that class, by the way. But I'm taking this class, and I didn't really have any interest in it, but I had to take it. It was one of those requirement classes that you have to take. And as I'm sitting there taking this class, I'm like, I have no interest. I'm not. It was almost like I was back in high school, because I think I told my high school math algebra teacher, I'm never going to use algebra when I get out of high school. You know that, right? Well, that's not completely true. But you have to understand something. You have to understand those things. I didn't understand what statistics was being used for. And it wasn't until I sat down with a professor, and the professor started explaining to me, this is where statistic is going to be important in your job as you move forward, and so you better understand it, that I started to understand and grasp a little bit more. See, the truth of the matter is that sometimes we look for Jesus as our fireproof insurance, and that's the only thing we want. We want our rears covered with a salvation ticket to heaven, right? We want to make sure that we have that fireproof insurance, and then that's all we want. Don't bother me for the rest of my life. Don't teach me. Don't tell me. Don't show me. Instead, let me just live in the life of I'm going to be saved, and that's all I need. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus wants us to grow deeper in him, because the closer we are to him, the more glorious things become on this earth and in the one to come. And so as we grow in Jesus, as we grow in our knowledge of him, we can grow deeper and we can understand the things that we may not have understood before. Paul gives us some very clear reasons and ways to understand and how to grow deeper in Jesus. And we're going to go over those in a moment. But I would say some of the most important things to know about Jesus are written here in this first verses that Paul gives to us. In addition to this, Paul talks about that the eyes of our heart would be open. Paul's way of having words is amazing. When Paul says that he wishes that our eyes of our heart may be open, why does he say that? Our eyes don't have hearts. Our hearts don't have eyes. That's what I meant to say. Let me reverse that, right? Our eyes are up here, our hearts down here. Why is that? Because what Paul is saying is that when your heart, what your heart loves, what you pour your heart into is what's most important to you. This past week, when I was speaking to these kids, they were all coming up to me and saying, I'm so busy. You don't know how much time I have to do this and how much time I have to share on I have to do my homework. I have to do all this stuff. And here, Pastor, you're calling me to spend daily time with the Lord and read the Bible and all these things. And I said, yes. And I used the same phrase. I think I might have told you guys this last week, but I one of these young men come up to me and he's complaining. I said, let me have your phone for a moment. He goes, well, we're not supposed to have a phone. And I said, I know, but I bet you have one. He goes, I do. And he reached in his back pocket and handed me his phone. And I said, you're telling me that you don't have enough time to pray or to read the Bible on a daily basis. And he's like, yeah, I'm telling you that. I'm so busy. You don't know how much homework I have and all these other things. So what did I do? I did what I told you guys to do last week. And I'm going to tell you again to open up and go to your screen share time and how much screen time you spend. And I begin to ask him, so how many hours do you think you spent on TikTok this past week? How many hours did you spend on Snapchat this past week? I said, if you would just I'm not even asking you to remove those completely from your life, but if you would just take an hour away from that, just think the difference it could make in your life. See, the truth of the matter is until we make something important to us, and we begin to see what we love, see where we spend our time, there is also our treasure and our hearts. We need to look beyond the problems that we say we have and see Jesus for who he is. Jesus was never intended to be an add-on to our life. He was never intended to be something that we just did on Sunday. He was intended to be the foundation of everything we do in our life. He was intended to be the building stone, something that, you know, a cornerstone. A building stone is the central piece of the foundation back then, right? Is they would lay this cornerstone because it's the most important part. If they didn't get the cornerstone, if they didn't get the foundation stone correct, then the rest of the house would be unlevel and eventually fall down. Jesus is said to be our cornerstone, our foundation. He's the one that we're supposed to set everything upon. And so don't tell me that you don't have enough time to spend in Him, because that is your foundation. If you want the rest of your life to go well, if you want the rest of your life to be built up and be strong, then you start with a strong foundation. And that is Jesus and who He is. The truth is that most people will never see with the eyes of their heart because they don't want to spend the time. Truth is that many people become lazy. Can I be real with you guys for a moment? It's laziness that keeps us from growing in our life with Christ. It has nothing to do with not understanding who He is. Most people who have given their life to Christ know how important He is. They just become lazy in building the foundation on that stone. We must learn to grow in Him and build up that foundation in which He is. Paul spells out some of the most wonderful things in the latter half of the verses that we just read. He talks about a few things that I want to go over. Number one, he talks about the hope that we have in which we are called to Him, which He has called us. Paul begins to tell us that Jesus is our hope. But may I ask you, do you really understand that without Jesus, we don't have any hope? That's right. Without Jesus, our hope is in whatever we can do with these hands. Your hands, my hands, whoever's hands you're speaking of, which by the way, isn't a heck of a lot. You may be able to achieve some amazing things, and that's wonderful, but guess what? Everything that you achieve in this world with your own hands is eventually going to decay and die and not be here. And so whatever you pour your energy and heart and arms and strength and boldness and all of these things into in this earth that's outside of Jesus isn't going to last for eternity. The only thing that will last for eternity, that will live on forever, is our faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul begins to tell us that we must understand the hope to which He has called us. When we grasp that He is our only hope, it kind of changes everything. You don't have to rely on things of this earth. You don't have to rely on the things, because Jesus is our only hope. And so when we grasp a hold of that, when we hang on to that with everything that we have, and Jesus is our only hope, then we have a hope that has lasted for eternity. A hope that has overcome. Listen, if you can find me someone who has died, been resurrected, lifted people from the grave, was able to heal them with their eyes, heal them of sickness and all of those things, then we can have a conversation. But I guarantee you there's only one that has ever done that. And that's Jesus. Don't waste your time on trying to find hope in something else, because that's the only hope that matters. We may pour our energy and our belief into some other type of hope, but Jesus is the only hope that really matters. He is the one that you tear roofs off of to get down to see. He's the one that you give everything up to follow Him. He's the one that you break through the crowds to grab a hold of the hem of the garment, because you know healing's going to come through Him. He's the one who forgives you of everything that you've done, but can tell you everything that you've done and still love you. Jesus is our only hope. There's nothing else that matters. He is our hope, and nothing else can come close to comparing to Him. Paul goes on to also tell us that the riches of His glorious inheritance. I was thinking about this as I was preparing the sermon, and I was thinking, man, just think what it would be like to be a child or a relative of the Cathys. Do you know who the Cathys are? The owners of Chick-fil-A. Could you imagine being a child or a family member of them, the inheritance that they were going to be able to leave behind to their family members? And then I was thinking about other people and other inheritance that would be given. And then I began to think, none of that really matters, though. Because their inheritance that they're giving to their kids, that they're passing on to their kids, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go away. inheritance that Paul is talking about, that he's asking that you understand the glorious, the riches of his glorious inheritance don't end in this earth. They go on forever in eternity. And so it is the only inheritance that you will receive for your eternity, for the rest of your life. You want to talk about an inheritance check that you're going to be receiving? The one that Jesus gives to us doesn't end when we end in this earth. It goes on in heaven every single day. And so we must understand that glorious inheritance which Jesus gave to us. We must dive into these things. Now listen, I can't do justice. Each one of these topics is enough for me to preach on for weeks. But what I want to do is introduce these to you so that you can go home and you can reflect on the hope that I have in Jesus. That I can reflect on the inheritance that I have in Jesus. My prayer is that by mentioning these things to you, you're going to go home and begin to open up your Bible and say, what does the Bible say about my inheritance? What do I get from Jesus? What does he give to me? Because I believe that is a lifelong journey that we should be on. To grow in him. To find what it is. It's greater than money. It's greater than worldly things. It is the best. It is only the best. His inheritance goes beyond all things. There's been some great people who have left great inheritance to their family members on this earth. Don't get me wrong. In fact, Scripture tells us that it is the blessed man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I'm going to take that verse and say, yes, that means leaving something for them, right? But I think what's more important is that you leave them a salvation in Jesus Christ. Money, in this terminology, means nothing. What you leave to them is a knowledge of Jesus, how to grow in Jesus, how to have the only hope that he has, that he gives to us. That is so much better. By the way, I saw that, Christy. I'm laughing too, because I know exactly what you're just saying to your mother. The truth of the matter is that when we walk in this, when we understand the glorious inheritance that Jesus leaves to us, it's such a beautiful thing. Walk in it. Know what it is. Learn to live in it. It causes us, look, each and every one of these, I'm going to pause here just for a moment, because each and every one of these things that we're talking about, whether we're talking about the hope or the inheritance or anything else that we speak about, none of this was intended for you just to read and say, oh, that's great. No, it's intended for you to fall in love even more with Jesus. To look at these things and say, if he's going to give me inheritance, I should at least know what that inheritance is, right? If I have the hope of Jesus, what is the hope of Jesus? If I can see the power of Jesus, what is that? In fact, that's the next thing that Paul talks about. He talks about the immeasurable greatness of his power. I was laughing at this because I was writing this message, and as I was writing this message, my power actually went out at my house. Thankfully, my battery was charged on my computer, so I didn't lose anything. But I was sitting there, and I was laughing, and it just came across my mind. Real power doesn't come from the electric company. Real power comes from Jesus. And when we understand that, we can walk and we can face anything that we face in this world. We can face the greatest, most difficult things that the Lord asks us to follow, because we have someone who has immeasurable greatness and power in his life. Jesus has the power to overcome anything and everything. There is real wonder-working power in the blood of Jesus. I'll spare you from me singing that old hymn.
Thank you.
But there is, you're welcome, but there is a lot of truth to that. The wonder-working power of Jesus is there, and it is here for us, and we must understand that. Listen, if you don't understand that Jesus has power, may I begin to explain, and just give me a few years, and I'll explain it all to you. That was a joke, haha, you can laugh. But the truth of the matter is that we can go on forever and ever and ever and talk about this, and we would not even scratch the surface of who Jesus is. He is, by the way, the Son of God. He is, by the way, the one who came to this earth, and so he has all the power of the Son of God. He has the power that the Son of God is, but he's also God. And so when he comes here to this earth, just because he's in human form doesn't mean that he let go of any of his power. It is called meekness. He kept his power under control so that he could fulfill the calling that God gave to him here on this earth. But that means that you and I get to walk in that power. We get to understand that. So when we face issues in our life, we need to take authority over that by the power that is in us through Jesus Christ. And we need to speak against those that attack us in the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. It is the most misused thing that I see It's the most underused thing that I see in the church today. Is the power that they have, that you all have, that we all have in Jesus. Do you know that we have the power and the authority to change the way the things go in this earth? If we would just use that power, we can change the outcome of things in our life by speaking that power over our lives, by speaking that power over our children, by speaking that power over the situations that we're going through in our life. We need to speak that power because it is the greatest power, and all have to submit to it. Do you understand that Scripture tells us that every knee shall bow before Jesus? Revelations gives us that story, gives us that understanding that every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that the President of the United States has great power? You think that the president of some other country in this world has a lot of power? It's nothing compared to the power of Jesus, where every knee shall bow before him. Can you grasp the immeasurable greatness of his power? That's what Paul is praying for the Ephesians to understand. Number four, he talks about the position. And I mentioned this before, but Jesus is more than the manger. He's more than the cross. He is the Son of God. He is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. If you truly know the power of Jesus, then you can will lead us to understanding the position of Jesus. Do you know when you read Scripture, and I challenge you to do this. Open up your, when you read Scripture and you're going through, Chad, when you're going through the Old Testament, and you're reading through the Old Testament, find Jesus in the Old Testament because he's there. Because he is, his position and his power is there. His position is that he is not only the second, he is at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. But Scripture tells us also that he is, Scripture actually tells us that he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Do you know that Jesus has the greatest position that was ever given to anyone? Why? Because of the sacrifice that he made for us and what he did to come to this earth for you and I. You must understand that we must grow in the understanding and knowledge of him and his position and what he is on this life. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection caused him not only to be over all the living things, but over all of creation as well. Do you know that? That Jesus was over all of creation as well. So that means all of us were created in the image of God. I reminded, this past week, I reminded the students that I was speaking to is that they were created in the image of God. But guess what? So were all of you. We're just a little bit older. We have a few more years under our belts, a few more aches and pains. But guess what? We were created in God's image as well. And as I reminded them, I'm going to remind you, God don't make junk. So he... What was I? I did say don't. I used the wrong English. I understand that. And I did that on purpose again. For you, Brett, God doesn't make junk. How's that? Is that better? But listen, we got to stop this. We stop looking at yourself as second-class citizen. You are not. You are the son and daughter. You are the inheritance of the greatest position and power and person, who is Jesus Christ. Stop telling yourself how bad you are. Stop telling yourself that you're insignificant. Stop telling yourself that you don't have the power. You don't have the hope. You don't have the dreams. You don't have any of that. All of those are lies that Satan is telling you right now. And so stand up and understand who you are and his position. Because of his position, guess what? We have great position because of him.
That's right.
Because of what he did on this earth and what he did for us. And because we are his inheritance, we can stand with great pride with our chests out, pounding them if we have to, right? And say, I am a child of God. And that means nothing that Satan throws at me will succeed. And I will extinguish all of those flames and those darts. And not only that, I will tell them to get that out of my life. You fill in the blank with the whatever you want that to be. Jesus is the greatest name ever to be spoken. And when we understand that, and we understand the power that he has, it changes us forever. See, it's not just the knowledge of these things. It's living out these things in your life. When you understand how powerful he is, when you understand his position, when you understand the inheritance that we have from him, when you understand all those things, guess what? We can have great hope that no matter what we face, we're going to get through. It's never promised that it's going to be easy. It's never promised that, but there is one promise, is that, and this is a verse that I think is, again, misunderstood. Jesus never promises us that he's going to take away the persecution. In fact, he says that we're going to be persecuted even more because of his name. The only thing that he promises us is that we don't do it alone. Why would, God, Jesus, why don't you just come and take it all away? Wouldn't that be a lot easier? No, what's better is that I'm with you. Why is it better? Because I am Jesus. Not me. I'm saying he's saying that. He is Jesus. Let me put it that way. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is all powerful. He is all that we ever need. Jesus doesn't want to take away the persecution because he wants to show us in our lives how great he is. And so when we're struggling with something, when our eyesight's not so good, Miss Tanya, our knees are hurting, Miss Tanya, when we're going through financial issues, I didn't look at you, Ben, but I...
Come on, brother. Let's go.
When we're going through all of that, guess what? The greatest thing that could ever be told for us is that Jesus is with us. Why is that? That's better than us, because we're not only are we going to learn how to navigate through these waters, he's going to lead us through those waters.
Amen.
He's going to carry us where needed. I love the footprints poem, you know, why were there only one set of footprints at some point? Because I was carrying you. The truth of the matter is that when we grasp a hold of just how wonderful he is, our life can walk in the same blessings that he is. We can find ourselves overcoming all of these things. We can find ourselves overcoming all of these issues, but we must dedicate ourselves to understanding who he is and stop telling ourselves that we are anything less. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. His name, again, is the greatest to ever be spoken. And all things must submit to him. If I were not a follower of Jesus Christ, that this statement, this sermon, would be having me shaking in my boots. Because what that means is that the person that is not for me is against me, and the person that is against me is the most powerful person, most powerful God ever. And he promises us all of these things. See, when we understand that Jesus is all these things, when we understand all of who he is, it changes who we can say about ourselves. Jesus is very, the New Testament is very clear that boasting is not something that he wants. Boasting in the Lord is okay, right? And so when we stand up and say, I am who I am because of Jesus Christ, that means, listen, I can boast all I want if I'm boasting about what God's doing in me. If I sit here and say, look how good I am. Yeah, that's right. But when I boast about who he is, it changes my position. When I understand who he is, it changes my understanding of who I am. And it lifts me up. So when I'm down and I'm depressed and I'm struggling, guess what I do? I look and say, how great are you, God? How great are you that you love me even so because of who I am? But I can stand here in this place and I can stand on confidence and say that I am a masterpiece created by God. I can sit here and say that you love me beyond all things. That you knew me in my mother's womb before I was even formed. That you have plans for me that are good and not evil. That you have all of these things for me. Why? Because of who he is, not because of who I am. It's nothing that I have done. I don't deserve any of that. But it's the grace of Jesus that's in our life that causes us to have all those things. Will you stand with me, please? I promise you that if you don't know Jesus, that today could be the day. If you're at home watching online or you're here in this room and you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, today can be that day. It's not because of anything that you have done or because I have done. It's because of what he has done. Our lives need to be dedicated to him, because when we dedicate our life to him, he can help us become all that we need to be. It starts with an understanding that he died on the cross for us. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe with our heart, that we shall be saved. What that means is that when we come to this place of saying, it's not me, it's you. But let me caution you for a moment. It's not just that saying that matters. It's believing in your heart, and it's the walking out of that every single day. If you're here today and you've never said those words, then let today be that day where you say those words. We'll have a moment, or have a chance in a moment. But I want to speak also to those that have already said that, but for some way, some reason, life has beaten you down and you've gotten away from how great God is, how great Jesus is in your life. May this verse and what Paul, and this prayer that Paul says to us, remind us just how truly great he is. Why? Because all things are possible through him. All things are possible. Not through us, not through my own power, not through his power, but through God's power. Nothing else matters. It's just him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, Lord Jesus. We lift you high and mighty. There are not enough words in the vocabulary, in the dictionary, at least in mine, to explain how wonderful and great you are, Father. Lord Jesus, you are the high and mighty. Everything begins and ends with you. Father, you are the foundation stone. You are the one that causes our house not to crumble when the storms come. You are the one who lifts us up when we are down. You are the one who protects us when we need protection. You are the one who comes against Satan who attacks us. You are the one who causes all of these things to be possible. You are the one that gives us hope when we have no hope. You are the one that gives us power when we're out of power. You are the one that gives us an inheritance that goes beyond money, beyond the things of this world, that will last forever. You are the one, Father. Jesus, there is no other name above your name. It is the greatest name ever to be spoken. And we pay honor to you today and lift you high and mighty, because you deserve that and so much more. Lord, I want to pray for those that were here today that have never, or watching at home online, that have never said those words, that has never accepted you and had salvation in Christ through you. And so, Jesus, we pray, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, convict the hearts, move in the people's heart today to bring them to that place where they say, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross for me, that he is my King and my Savior. And because of that, I can have everlasting eternal life. Please forgive me of my sins. Be my King, be my Savior. But Father, I want to pray not only for those, and I congratulate those that have just said that prayer for the first time. Thank God you said that, and welcome to the kingdom. But Lord, I want to pray for the believers that are also here today that have said those words but have lost their sight. They've lost their vision, their eyesight of how great you are. Lord Jesus, I pray right now in the name, in your name, the only name that matters above all names, that you would remind them just how great you are, how powerful you are, that we can be lifted up because of you. And so, Lord Jesus, come into our lives and show us again. Holy Spirit, open us. Give us a revelatory knowledge of you. Give us the wisdom that we need, the understanding that we need to see you in the greater form, that we can truly proclaim that there is no other name above your name. And let us come back to that idea, Father. Forgive us for giving you second place in our life, and come and be first again. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. And we praise you because you deserve this and so much more. Help us, Lord Jesus. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Let's sing this worship song together. If you have any prayer requests, please come forward. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you've chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. Split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. You're the great Lord. Yes, I am a child of God. And I'm no longer slave. I am a child of God.
Yes, Lord, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And with that comes the amazing blessings of serving a God who is above all names, above all things, above all creation, above all powers and authorities here on this earth and in there. And so we pray, Lord, today that as we walk and as we leave from this place today, that you would guide us and strengthen us, that you would build us up, that we could walk in the knowledge and the understanding of just how amazing you are, Jesus. Lord, you are the greatest thing that ever happened to us. We bless you. We honor you, Father. We ask you that you help us to walk in that today and every day. As we go into our neighborhoods and our families and our homes, may we proclaim the goodness of God, the power, the riches of his inheritance, the hope that he brings, the position of who he is, and all that he does in our lives. May we glorify you in all of those things. As we give you the honor, the praise, and the glory, because you deserve that in all things. In Jesus' name, we ask all of these things. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.
I'll just take it up there. Show Corey.
Yeah, show Corey that.
Yeah. This is what came up when I tried to change the song.
It's weird. That's very weird.
I've never seen that before.
I haven't either. Have to try to look at it, see what's going on.
I'm going to go ahead and go off air.